Let's open up our Bibles. My intent is to preach the gospel as good as I can, as much as I know it, and as clear as I can. And you have your Bible, and you can always check and read the verses that are from which I will read, and make an attempt to explain them. But I want to start first the good news, the gospel, how it actually affected me. And I want to share a little bit about how it actually got to me. I grew up in a family where I remember my mother opening the Bible when I was going to bed, and she would read us stories from the Bible. I remember hearing the gospel in the church that I attended, or my parents took me to. And the gospel, the good news, had not a big impact for me as I grew up until a certain event happened. And that was that I was in a store. I was about 12 years, and I saw that toy is Lego. It's like a basically a piece that you put little blocks together and you can build little pieces. So Lego. And I wanted it so much, but growing up in a family of eight kids, money was always tight. And it was like, we didn't get just money from our parents to buy things. But it was like, I wanted that so bad. And I decided to take it, to steal it. I put it under my pullover and got out. And it didn't stay with that. It developed into, I had a computer. There was these magazines that disc in there, and I started stealing those. While doing these things, my parents still took me out to churches, and when I heard the gospel, when I was among the believers, there was a deep sense in me realizing that I'm a thief and that I've done wrong, and that that I'm guilty. As much as I hid it from all people, I knew exactly God knows what I've done. And there was a time when I even ran to the bathroom to hide my tears. I was overwhelmed with guilt. And I would promise myself, I will stop that. I will not steal anymore. But then comes the week, I would find myself again being a thief. And that really hit home where the gospel starts. And that was necessarily to actually understand the gospel. And that was when I was only 12 years old. That's when I understood that I have sinned. In other words, I've rebelled against God and what the standard that he has set. God does not desire, God is not a thief, nor does he want anybody to steal. So I realized that I have failed as a human being, as the person I was, and over me came guilt. I knew I did something wrong, and with that also came shame. I knew and understood there's something wrong with me. And so as time went on, there was a time when I understood that what the Lord, what Jesus Christ, what God has done for sinners, and I was granted, and I repented, I turned to God, I cried out, and he saved me. Now, what I like to do now is go through, and we will start with, I like to take you on a journey of a few subjects. So we start with the problem of sin, and we go over to the solution, which is salvation, and then we will speak a little bit about how it affects you and your response to the problem and to what God has done. Now, first, if you have a Bible, please turn to Luke 5:31-32. There it was when Jesus walked here on earth 2,000 years ago. He was often confronted by the elite. People were really looking up at these people. They thought if anybody is going to make it to heaven, it's probably these people, because they were so rigid on keeping laws, and they appeared very holy. So these people were actually challenging often the Lord Jesus. And here they were again, because Jesus shows us the heart of God and his heart for sinners. As he sit down with some tax collectors were despised in Israel, because they were occupied by the Romans, and the Romans collected money from the Israelites. So the Jews kind of hated them because they were taking money from them. But Jesus sought even the tax collectors out. And he went to one of them, his name is Levi, and ate with them. So these experts and Pharisees, they were upset with this and said, he said that to the people that were following Jesus, his disciples, were saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And then the response of Jesus is remarkable. Hear this. Jesus answered them, "Those who are well don't need a physician, but those who are sick do." Now my question is, for you, listening to what the Lord said back then, "Those who are well don't need a physician." If the Lord asks you today, are you well? Or are you sick? And maybe I should be expounding a little bit on that, because it's referred to the tax collectors. If there's a person, like if I go to the doctor, and if you go to a doctor, and a doctor, just a routine checkup, and he checks and he finds, and I do not wish that on any one of you, he finds something on your throat, and there's something, and he says, "Hey, we have to check it out, we have to see what it is," and they examine further and they discover it's cancer. Now, there's a response from you. Either you say, "Wow, I have cancer, yet now I believe the doctor, I need treatment." But there's also a way of saying, "No, I don't believe you. I reject that. Well, then there's no cure for you." In the same way, there is a need. And the question here is, are you well? Like, are you eternally well? Or are you sick? Have you sinned? No, the Bible tells us on a different verse, and at Romans 3:23, and it says, "Therefore all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." When it says all, that speaks of each individual. There is not a single exception. All have sinned. My question is to you, do you see yourself as a sinner? Have you sinned? Have you chosen, or have you broken any of the commandments, which we will get to? But let me explain, have fallen short of the glory of God. So God has set the standard, and that standard is perfection. And if we sin, if we rebel against what God has intended for us and for His world and for His glory, we fall short of that when we sin. And so God, what this verse describes is that we all, there's not a single exception, we all have rebelled against God and we are in a sin. And you may ask, where did sin start? And the Bible speaks about that too. In Isaiah, there was an angel that rebelled and wants to be equal with God. It was essentially pride. That's the first sin. Then, but how does it connect to you and me today? Well, sin entered into the world, and we read that in Genesis 3, and it speaks how God made a beautiful earth with, it's just remarkable to see how he did that with creating the sun and moon, and there was a purpose for that, to know the seasons, to know days. He created the earth to bear and bring forth plants, and then he had the plants to grow and have seeds and fruit, and then the people to rule or to manage. And so there was, all he had made was good, and it had a good purpose. And however, there was a tree that God planted, and God has made man with a will to choose between good and evil. To follow him or to disobey him. And Adam chose to disobey. And he took off that that fruit and rebelled. And with that, he went out of his purpose. His purpose was to be in communion with God, to live according to his standards and his purposes. When he did that, sin entered, rebellion. They rebelled against God, their creator. And with sin, they started feeling guilt. They started feeling shame. They were vulnerable, felt vulnerable. They tried to cover themselves. And those are the effects of sin. That's how sin entered into the world. Now my question is, do you see yourself as a sinner? And one of the ways to know or to actually get to the root of it and what it really takes is to be honest with yourself. And so God has set his standard in the Ten Commandments, and there, one of them, it says, you shall not lie. My question is, have you lied? One other one is, you have to obey your parents. Have you always obeyed your parents? Another one is, you shall not covet. Did you ever want something from somebody else and so bad you were envious? It's sin. You've fallen short God's standard. Have you lusted against God's standard? Have you murdered? Maybe you have not. But Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you've committed murder. So the God's standard is very high, because murder essentially starts in the heart. So if you are just as I, then I must say, I have sinned. And you can say for yourself, I have sinned. I'm guilty before a holy and a righteous God. Now this is necessary to understand the gospel. Without that, the gospel has not much meaning to you. Now with sin, we just discussed, there's physical suffering entered, sickness entered, sin. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, meaning God pays the actions of sin. He pays death for the actions of sin. So I have sinned. The wage for that is death. And it's a reality. 10 out of 10 of die. And that is because we have sinned. All have sinned. Now, with sin, there's also the relationship between God and Adam was cut. He was sent out of the garden, and if Adam would die in their sin, or if any one of us dies in their sin, we would suffer eternal punishment. And that would be hell and then the lake of fire. Now, the beautiful thing of this all is that God has not left us there. God, and we look at God and sin. God hates sin. God must punish sin. And that's the wage. We see also God and the sinner. That's you and I. And we see something beautiful. And I want to read this in Romans 5:8. And it says that, but God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's tremendous that God didn't just leave us to ourselves to go our path into an eternity lost and suffering in hell. But God, he demonstrates his own love for us. We were sinners. We rebelled. He demonstrates his love. But Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Showing his love here. And then you see also in other verses, such as in Peter, we see God's heart, how he says that God is patient and he seeks and desires that all should come to repentance, meaning turn to the Savior, turn from your sin, look to Jesus Christ and what he's done. And let's consider what the Lord Jesus did on the cross. Or how is it that God can save? If God is holy, if God is just, how can he save? He loves us, yes. So, but the thing is with God, he's holy and all his character, all his attributes, he cannot violate his righteousness and just overlook your sins. So there has to be an account for your and my sin. So God provided a way, and that's in Jesus Christ. And that's how it says here, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. And when he died there, and it actually in the Bible, it expounds it a little bit further on it, and there's a substitute required. Like, because to have the sins forgiven in the scripture, there's blood required. And in Isaiah 53, we read the following. We read there in 53:4-5. But he lifted up our illnesses. He carried our pain. Even though we thought he was being punished, attacked by God, and afflicted for something he had done. He, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, was wounded because of our rebellious deeds, crushed because of our sins. He endured punishment that made us well. Because of his wounds, we have been healed. Here we read about God providing Christ. Christ died for us. This is what Isaiah speaks of. And he is living hundreds of years before actually Jesus died. He was prophesying about the Savior for us. And now we read here what God has done. Attacked by God, afflicted for something he had done. That's what they thought, the Jews. But he was wounded. Why was he wounded? Because I know I'm a thief. I've stolen. I'm guilty. And he died. He was wounded for my rebellious deed. He was crushed because of our sins, my sin. He endured the punishment that God laid on him for that sin. Why? That we may be well. His wounds have healed us, have healed me personally. And I'm not sure what it is for you. And I hope you understood what it was for you when I was speaking about sin. I hope you identify and know where you have sinned. And you can apply that to you. Now, we looked at him, Jesus Christ, and Jesus came into the world. He was a human being. He identified with us. He ate. He wept. He actually learned a trade. He was a carpenter. But at the same time, he was also God. Jesus never sinned. He was perfect. And he was God. Because though he wept and he ate, no human being can heal sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Jesus Christ did that. And Jesus did that willingly. Jesus came into this world and he faced a lot of his hostility from us human beings. And he did that willingly, and we read that he even was willing to lay his life down for us. And it says there, he's done that primarily for the Father, to please God and to bring glory to him. And we may enter, we may come to him and receive life, eternal life, and forgiveness of our sins. And now, is the cross enough? It is truly everything that's required for you, the forgiveness of your sins. There is nothing that can be added to that work. How could a mere failing human such as I and you add anything to that perfect work of Jesus Christ, who's man and is God? There's no way anyone can add to that. He's done it all, and he cried out, "It is finished," meaning it is done. Now, what happened after Jesus died? And this is, again, marvelous. He died for our sins. Our sins were nailed on the cross. And then he rose from the dead, and with his resurrection, proving to many, even after he rose from the dead, and there's many that saw him, and he proved that he is the victor over death even. Death could not keep him. He rose from the dead. And also showing his victory over sin. No matter how grievous your sins are, or no matter even how small they may seem, Jesus has conquered all sin. All sin. And of course, he disarmed Satan. Satan, the accuser, accuses us to God, and we live in a world where it looks like we don't see it as often. We try have our reasons, but he is active, and if there are people that have suicidal thoughts, things, wicked thoughts, you know, there's demonic powers active all around us. The Lord Jesus is greater than that. The Lord Jesus has power over Satan. Now, and then he ascended to heaven and is at the right hand of God the Father and will return soon. Now my question is, what will you do with this? What is your answer to the truth of the gospel? If you have actually if you know you're a sinner, and you know now what God has done, what will you do with it? There's only two things to do. Either you accept, you turn to Christ, and you cry out, you know you're a sinner, you must be saved, you must receive the forgiveness that is in Jesus Christ. Or you just stay passive and reject it. You know, in my occupation, I do quite a bit of troubleshooting. There's issues sometimes with machineries, and people reach out sometimes and say, this is not working, and we need your help to get it working. And there's generally a couple questions that I can ask. And then one of them is the first one, usually. I ask, is it plugged in? Is the machine plugged in? Or is the computer plugged in? And that happens to be sometimes the case, that the equipment isn't plugged in, that's why it's not working. Now for you heard the message. You know there is a source. In order to receive it, it's like plugging in the plug into the outlet, into the power source. You must receive it. You must respond. You must plug in to the source. You cannot stay passive. And there's a beautiful verse also in Romans 10:9, which I want to read. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You can know for sure to be saved if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Now, there's other things that could be in the way. Something, I'm not bad enough. Something, think I'm too bad. But if you're not good enough, you need to read and understand how God sees you. You know, if looking at you, I would say decent people. I really like them. I want to get each and single one, get to know you. Because you seem to be very pleasant listening, and it is so. However, God does not see just that, this right now. He sees everything. He actually sees your secret thoughts. He sees everything. Everything is open before him, and so that is something that has to come home. If you think you're actually a good person, realize God sees everything, and it's serious before him. If you think you're too bad, there's no hope, look at the cross. Look at the cross. Jesus died for you, and it's God and man there on the cross, and he died even for wicked sins. Come to him. You cannot clean yourself. You cannot clean up yourself first and then come to him. There is no way. There's because you would take something away. Why do I need a savior? Or why do you need a savior if you still can't cleanse yourself first and then come to him? There's no way you can in any way clean yourself. You must come as you are, and he takes it all. He takes all your sins away. There was one person that asked me, I want to become a Christian, but do I have to give up drinking? No. There's two sides to it. It's like, for one, the Lord came to give us life in abundance. He's not there to rob us. But at the same time, there's also to counting the cost. Now, is there anything that holds you back? And what is it that holds you back from the Lord? Lay it all down before him. And if it's alcohol, lay it before him. He is Lord. How does it say here? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, Lord, he's the master, he's the director. It's his will, it's his desires that come first. So we have to count the cost, lay it all before him. The same know that God is not robbing you, he's giving you life in abundance in Jesus Christ. And with that, I would want to urge you one more time, come to the Savior, turn to him. And let's pray, and then we can sing one more song.